Welcome in. Time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Hey, welcome in. Time for Daily Editorial, the first Daily Editorial that we're doing just after the holiday season. And I believe next Monday will be the first Daily Editorial that we'll do of the new year. Hope you all had a good holiday. And rather than be politically correct, I'm going to say I hope you all had a good Christmas, a good Hanukkah, etc., etc. And I really mean that. I do. Some interesting things are happening in our country right now that unfortunately involve the FBI. Published in The Federalist, and then using Liberty Daily as the vehicle to get more readers, it turns out that there is proof positive that Hunter Biden was being investigated by the FBI, and there was proof positive that he did some things that the Biden family did not want to get out into the public. What are those things, Jim?
Well, the things were very clearly the laptop that was confiscated by the FBI or taken as evidence that was looking at his corrupt activities, which are numerous, but most importantly, the things that are most important to the nation, which would have been important to the election in 2020, was the information that showed that Joe Biden was directly involved in business dealings with Hunter Biden and his brother and Joe Biden's brother, Jim Biden, as well as others in working deals for payment with the Chinese government.
Right, and some of those deals involved specifically Biden laundering the money. How did he do that?
Oh, I don't know exactly how he did it, but there were apparently large numbers of what they call significant activity reports, SARs report to the U.S. Treasury about illegal actions. There was an investigation that had been ongoing for a while. And of course, the real story here really isn't so much about Hunter Biden. I mean, that's important. And Joe Biden is very important. But the story is that the FBI, in the article that is published in The Federalist, is actually showing through the Twitter files that have been released and emails that the FBI was directly involved in censoring information, not just at the high levels of the FBI, but actually at the Baltimore field office, which oversees the Delaware field office, which actually conducting an investigation. And they did this right before the election in 2020.
Right.
This is a very clear evidence of the FBI and the Department of Justice stepping into an election campaign. They were asking Twitter to censor this information. So that's them, law enforcement, stepping in and getting involved in an election campaign to protect the Biden family and, of course, to protect Hunter Biden and Joe Biden for his victory.
Right.
And most polling has shown that with knowledge, public knowledge, that being accurate, there would have been a significant change, probably anywhere between 10 and 20% overall of voting against Joe Biden.
Yeah, very possibly. You know, it's really amazing that now President Biden did that. I want to tell you guys out there, we're talking about some stuff that is really, really sensitive. Get your pencil out. I'm going to show you how you can find this information. And it just blew the top of my head off when I read the article. Go to thelibertydaily.com. And just click on it until you get into the guts of the guts of the publication. It's right towards the top of the first page. Very, very interesting. Now, material like that does not get published unless there is substance to it. As Jimmy mentioned to me in a conversation that we had off mic, the Twitter material that has been disseminated to the public conclusively proves that the Biden family has been involved in some nefarious dealings. Right, Jim?
Well, the information from Twitter release shows that the government was involved in protecting protecting the Biden family from scrutiny. The information comes from Hunter Biden's laptop and numerous other sources that showed that they were directly involved in activities that would have been considered influence and illegal with the Chinese government. So And the article, and I will say the article is in the Federalist. It's FBI office investigating Hunter Biden sent Twitter numerous censorship requests right before the 2020 election.
Yeah.
Off the Federalist. If you can't find it on the Liberty Daily because it pushes down below, go to the Federalist. It's Margot Cleveland. She's the reporter. And I'll tell you, she's done a phenomenal job on pushing issues with the Hunter Biden laptop and the DOJ and the FBI getting directly involved in influencing the outcome of an election in the United States.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. Very, very interesting, Jimmy. There's no question about that. This has to come to a conclusion because America cannot exist when this type of stuff goes on. America as we know it cannot exist is a better way to put it. If the public allows these types of actions to continue and go unabated, you know, our country is doomed.
Well, and this is reflected in what happened in Arizona. There was clear evidence showing influence in the election, impacting the election outcome. And of course, the judge dismissed the Carrie Lake lawsuit, yesterday.
Yeah.
So what we're going to see is an appeal. But again, Americans are losing trust and faith in our system. The more that they learn, they realize that it is a corrupt system.
Yeah.
And that's what can't exist. We can't continue to allow this level of corruption.
Yeah.
Of course, it reverts right back into the very centers of power, including the Senate and congressional leaders on both houses that have allowed this to continue without calling it out. Because they're afraid. They're afraid of the intimidation. They're afraid of the Department of Justice. They're afraid of the intelligence community attacking them and tubing them politically. And they want the system to work, continue the way it's always gone, which is basically now it's becoming way too influenced by the external forces and money that undermines, you know, confidence in our system.
Yeah.
But this is not the first time we face these types of challenges.
No.
As a nation, and we will continue. We have to continue to stand up. And
of course, we do.
What protects us is that First Amendment protection. And of course, with this influence operation and this attempt to silence and censor information from federal government officials on COVID, on Hunter Biden, on election denial, all these different issues, that's how we'll lose the nation if we don't stand up and keep speaking.
I agree 100%. When you get government officials involved in action like this, because it would appear, and I'm just taking kind of a blind leap here, just my personal opinion, it would appear that the President of the United States basically, in some method, forced the powers that be to keep this information quiet.
Well, even before that, though, Trump was still president, and we saw what the FBI and the DOJ did in order to facilitate the Russia collusion narrative. We saw what the Democratic Party did with the impeachment over, you know, the fraudulent impeachment over Ukrainian phone call. And we see now that Nancy Pelosi was directly responsible for not getting security around the Capitol on January 6th, so they could use that as a political tool. We're fools if we continue to allow this to happen. You know, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on you.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing that this happened. And we will continue to follow this story very, very closely because it really hasn't hit the papers yet. I would have to say, how many people read the Federalist? How many people read the Liberty Daily compared to the New York Times, compared to the LA Times, compared to the San Francisco Examiner? I would have to say very, very few. So by far, only a minuscule percentage of our population even is aware that this is going on. Jimmy, that's despicable.
Yeah, I agree. And that's the problem. When the mainstream media outlets, the corporate media outlets, are actually tied together with the administration, when they are the spokespeople for a particular political and they are that, then that's just propaganda. It's regime propaganda. And ABC, NBC, CBS, MSNBC, CNN, they have proven that they are exactly that, propagandists for this Biden regime and the Democratic Party. And the New York Times and the Washington Post actually lead the world in that type of propaganda.
Yeah.
And when they, you know, the Washington Post says, you know, democracy dies in darkness. Well, they're the darkest shadow over democracy in America right now, as far as I'm concerned.
I got to tell you, Jimmy, I mean, the conclusion that I come to on something like this is not a pleasant conclusion. And I would like to know exactly, before we go into the next very important segment, why you don't think this is going to get any traction. I personally, for the reasons you just gave, don't think it's going to get any traction whatsoever. And that means that the government is truly affecting the news that the people get about what's going on in America.
Yeah, it's when you hold all the levers of power,
yeah,
you have the law enforcement actually working for your political ends. When you have the Justice Department and actually judges working for your political ends, you've lost touch with America. You've lost touch with the people. It won't last forever.
No.
It will be. But what we don't want to see is it get incredibly ugly, which is what has happened historically in the past. And we just don't want to see that type of
No, absolutely destruction. Not. And I hope that somebody in the periodicals like Liberty Daily, Federalist, et cetera, I hope that somebody takes us to the next step. Having said that, I want to ask you a question about Elon Musk. The headlines of late have said that Elon Musk is going to step down or is stepping down as CEO of Twitter. Okay. Now, my question is this. I'm assuming that all of this information came out of the emails, the material that Elon Musk last week kind of opened up to the country.
Yeah, well, he did a poll and he said, hey, look, you know, should I continue to be CEO?
Yeah.
His whole goal with buying Twitter was the in his view, and I think in many was in many people's view, was the public square. This is quote what he said. This is where we'd stand and share our arguments in very small amount of characters, maybe linked to an article.
Right.
But how important the information was and how quickly it spread was the reason why he got involved. And he understood that Twitter was censoring very important information that the American people were denied knowledge about.
Yeah.
So he stepped in at a very expensive rate at $44 billion in order to open up the books on misinformation and lying. And what's so amazing is the left and progressives are attacking him for actually opening up the facts on how Twitter censored different items on the recommendation of the federal government, which is absolutely disturbing for anybody that needs to protect free speech. And many, many educated lawyers on that are basically classical liberals are absolutely amazed and furious this has happened. However, we've created this dissent and this argument that just attacks people. So Elon Musk is being attacked. So his point was, should I continue to be, you know, the CEO of Twitter? And in a poll, came out and said no. So I imagine he's going to step down. The price and the shares for Tesla are going down significantly.
Yeah, they are.
And I think that has a lot to do with the major investment, these massive investment groups like BlackRock and Vanguard, and, you know, that are very woke, that are actually pushing agendas, are afraid because they've been protecting this administration. So they're attacking him and they're downgrading and they're pulling money out of these very successful companies to destroy Elon Musk.
Yeah.
And, you know, whether you like him or hate him, there's a fundamental problem with trying to kill the messenger when the messenger is telling you that, oh, by the way, your system is completely corrupted.
Agreed.
And people are defending them.
Agreed.
Defending the corrupt system. That is wrong.
Agreed. Okay, now you know what we found out. I'd like to get some comments on this, and I know that we will. We're going to go on to another subject that's a little happier. This subject shows the true courage of our past president, Abraham Lincoln, who signed the Emancipation Proclamation. An article that came out in the latest edition of Imprimis magazine, it's not a magazine, I'm not sure, a missive, I guess is the best way to put it, entitled American Christmas and American New Year. The article was written by Christopher Flannery. He's a senior fellow at the Claremont Institute. He's a contributing editor to the Claremont Review of Books, and he's host of a podcast entitled The American Story. So the guy really is a real student of American history. He, in this article, included at the end of the article, a segment showing how difficult it was for Abraham Lincoln to sign the Emancipation Proclamation. The reason it was difficult is because many, many people in both the North and the South were really, really against freeing the slaves, believe it or not. Jimmy, you found this article out. I read it, I think it was the day after Christmas. Feel really good about a guy like Flannery being able to publish information like this. Why don't you wrap up exactly why this was such a gutsy thing for Abraham Lincoln to do?
Well, he was facing a tremendous amount of pressure, and we have to remember, as we talked about on the weekend show, that in 1864 there was an election. Right, Lincoln had the war had started. Lincoln was orchestrating the war. He had some real challenges. And one of his, the key people that he was that was running the war for the North was General McClellan. General McClellan was a Democrat, and he actually was pro-slavery to a certain extent. So he failed miserably. He was losing. The North was not doing well in the war. Lincoln fired him.
Right.
He ran for president against Abraham Lincoln. And of course, Democratic governor of New York. There were many, many powerful people that were very much against the emancipation, and in some cases thought that they would have to negotiate and allow the states to secede, the slave states, or at least the South. And that pressure was intense. Even the Supreme Court justice at the time, which is Roger Taney, Lincoln was not sure that the Emancipation Proclamation would actually stand up
to the Supreme Court. Yeah.
So he's taking a huge risk. The entire nation is at an ugly, destructive civil war at the time. Political enemies on all sides attacking him, and even those in the North in key areas that very much didn't want this to go forward. And he took that bold step. And of course, we look back on it as a very important, change in all American history, but actually in world history, in my view, to accept that all of us, the 13th Amendment in particular, that was critical in the future, but it wasn't assured that even the amendment to outlaw slavery would be approved by the states.
Right.
So that New Year's Day,
In the 19th century,
I mean, this is a really important moment in history, and probably one of the greatest in all of our nation's history, with the exception of the battles of the Revolutionary War that were fought in an amazing time. And I want to remind people, there is this huge push that you heard it through the Black Lives Matter protests. Silence is violence. And they attack people and threaten them with your voice, your statements can be violent.
Yeah.
And if you then the law enforcement and authorities in the U.S. right now have stepped in along with these tech companies and the media to attack people that make comments that may be offensive, but also that, they blame against violence. And this was the entire argument with the January 6th.
Yeah.
But I want to remind people, when the founders wrote the Constitution, that First Amendment to guarantee the press, to guarantee freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and freedom of assembly, they did so just after they had fought a war. And the way they fought that war was standing in the square to organize people in order to fight, in order to free and allow people a government, to give people a government that protected their rights, not granted them their
rights. Right.
So here's the contradiction with the government getting involved in silencing speech because of threat of, quote, violence. The whole foundation of our nation was based to protect people to stand up against the government from doing exactly what they're doing right now.
Right. Right.
And we have to think that through and absolutely stand up for our rights. And that means, on occasion, unfortunately, standing up and taking the heat of a strong battle. And that's what happened in 1775 through, the end of the Revolutionary War. And unfortunately, that's what happened in our Civil War.
Yeah.
And we don't want that violence, but in the end, if the government keeps deciding for you and forgets that, in fact, they are of the people and by the people,
yeah,
you're going to have to stand up.
Well, I want to recommend one thing. I think it's a natural outgrowth of what Jim just said. Really consider reading both the Federalist and the Liberty Daily. Very, very, in my opinion, thought-provoking, decent missives that we all need to live. Jim, that was a good one. Thanks, man.
You bet, Al.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You are listening to KER Politics.